Oops. Knocked the lid off. That could be a problem. You know what the other problem is? I'm told when you get up to speak, you should never have a mint or any gum in your mouth or anything. And, you know, I didn't pay attention to the last song, and as soon as I got done, I stuck a mint in my mouth. So if you see me spit it out accidentally later on, I'm sorry. If it grosses anybody out, I'm sorry. If you want it, I'll give it to you now, though. I knew you would take it, Jason. That's what buddies. Oh, good morning, folks. Obviously, you can tell things are a little bit different today. We have stepped in different roles, and it's a little bit challenging for each of us, especially when my computer hasn't booted up and tell me all my notes, because I am definitely relying upon notes, and I need to see them. Come on. We are entering into a series on the book of Ecclesiastes. Thus, you'll be bringing the rest of the messages throughout the month. And one thing you all know is a little bit different. Man, I already have one leaving. Jason, I just got started. I'm not that bad yet. It's always fun to pick on your buddy. But anyway, we're starting the book of Ecclesiastes. It's not going to be done as most people go through a book. We're not going to start in chapter 1 and walk into chapter 2 and then go to chapter 3. It's we're taking the topics that are surrounded and found in the book of Ecclesiastes and going to come at it a little different direction for each of the messages. So what's the meaning of life and what's the point? It's kind of where I'm coming from today. And what's interesting enough, when we look at the author of the book of Ecclesiastes being King Solomon, this is really going to irritate me, you know that. I'll save it there for later. You think I'm kidding. And anyway, King Solomon, he is one of the wisest men of all times, and he was loaded. I mean, he ruled over a large segment, larger than any other king in history. He was controlling over that, and he was in power. And he had money out the wazoo. He sent the guys out, go collect some taxes, and the money would come flowing into him. And so he was big dude, and he had the money, and he also had the girls. You know, they say he had over 1,000 women. I don't know what he's going to do with all them. A little nuts, I think, but hey, that was his deal. But anyway, he had all these things, and he goes through it, and you look at the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, he says, everything is meaningless. Later in chapter 1, wisdom is meaningless. Chapter 2, pleasure is meaningless. Later in chapter 2, wisdom and folly are meaningless. Chapter 2, late in chapter 2, says, toil is meaningless. Chapter 4 says, advancement's meaningless. Chapter 5, riches are meaningless. So you can have everything in the world at your power. You're in total control. And he's bordering on depressive personality types. He was struggling. He didn't fit in. And everything he tried to do to entertain himself, to pleasure himself, to make himself feel good, just was hollow and empty. And then when you start studying this, NRSF1, Dusty has this preaching team that's really neat. I've heard him talk about it, but a few weeks ago I was invited to sit in on it. And they're not only neat, they're really smart too. Some of the analogies that they're to bring out of the text that they all read it, I think there's 8 or 10 of them, they study it and read the entire book of Ecclesiastes and just give you all the things that they glean from it. Neat group of people. I mean, Dusty's blessed to have them. Anyway, one of them pulled out this point and is talking about a part of our brain and how it operates. So in that, I started researching it further and I learned that we operate in what's called a survivor philosophy. And what that simply is, it's the first blank on your sheet. It says, someone who believes that there is nothing beyond their grasp or right to possess. Isn't that the world we live in? Isn't that America right now? We believe we have the right to have anything that comes before our eyes. And if we don't have the right, we will just go out and grasp it. We'll take a hold of it. And it's for ourselves. We are a self-centered society. And what I've learned, there's 4 things that we are focused on that will encompass everything that we go after. The first one is simply power. It's control. We want to be in control of our situations and our lives and everything around it. And for you guys, here's what I know. If you got married, you thought you were in control until that day. Am I right? I mean, we thought we were in control until we said, I do. And she says, that's right. You will do this and you will do that. And she's in control. But we like to think at work we're in control. We like to think at church we're in control. Every part of our lives, we like to be in control. And let's not exempt the women. You guys are the quiet control ones. You kind of speak softly and go, you will do that, right? And it's, yes, dear. Who said that? That was you, Al. How long you been married, Al?
24 years.
It's going to take me a few more years to figure that answer out. The next one is prestige. It's identity. It's who we are. We want people to think well of us. And what's funny is, ladies, this is the one that really hits you a lot. Because you get there. I just had my hair cut Friday. Seriously, Dina cut it. Because I knew I was preaching today. It's important to the ladies. Because, you want your hair done right. You go on. You know, do these jeans make me look? And we ask questions we really don't want answers to. But it's important how we look in our physical presentation and how what people think of us. They want you to be, thought of as a good mother, a good father. You want people to look up to you. You want your children to look up to you. It's very important. So we have spent time, energy, and effort doing stuff to make that happen. Possessions. Security. This really has two different sides to it. Women's security is like, I want a home to live in. I want my kids to go to a good school. And I want to know everything's going to be safe at night. And that type of security is very important. When we do marriage counseling, that's one of the things that come out that men need to understand is their wife needs to feel secure. Guys, on the possession side, we like all the technological geeky stuff. You know, we have our Blackberries and our Droids and our iPhones and our laptops, and we have the coolest game system. I'll be honest, I'm a little bit behind on some of those things. My son brought out this little black box and hooked it to a TV and downloaded through the air movie that we could watch on TV. I thought that was way cool. I know nothing about that, but he does. That's the next generation where I'm going to get lost. Dawn Souders and I were texting yesterday, and she says, I got my new BlackBerry Curve 2. My response is, now you're one of the cool kids. Because we like technology. It gives us security. And, I mentioned a little bit ago, but one of the things that's very important to me is my laptop. Looking at paper notes and reflection messes my eyes up, so I teach and I do everything out of my laptop. I carry it everywhere I go. If I'm in country, out of country, at home, sitting in bed at night, can't sleep, I'm on the computer. It brings me security and comfort. We like our possessions. And if it's out there and it's new and it's cool, we want to get it. I know Verizon Wireless has this cool thing. Every 2 years, you could get a new phone. I've learned with our system that because Kim, Jacob, Jonathan, and myself all have phones. When one of theirs comes up for renewal, I could take the renewal so I could have the latest phone and give them one of the old ones. it's cool stuff. We like our toys. We like the possessions. The fourth thing is simply pleasure. It's our desires. It's things that we want. And got a question, guys. Have you ever been walking down the mall and you see a lady walk by and you notice her because she's attractive? Have you ever gone, wow? Usually you have a bruise on your rib, depending on which side your spouse is on. There's things that attract us by our eyes, and when we first notice it, we're okay, but it's that desire thing when we start looking at it. A lot of things. Food. You desire it. We want it. We go after it, and we take it. Did you know we're the largest country in the world? Why? Because we have... wide. It's because we have the availability of much food, and we consume it because we can. We like it. I was so tempted. There's these things now. Somebody told me about it's like for an inhaler, and you hit it, and it has chocolate in it. And you can smell it, and you can taste it, and it only has one calorie if you use it. I thought about, I got somebody's attention now. Now, if I hit that a couple times in here, some of you ladies will go, wow, I want one of those because we desire it. Which is interesting, this teaching team, this preaching team at Dusty's said, it's a response of the amygdala. There's a picture of that coming up soon. There it is. And I'm not sure if I said it word, but there's these two walnut little glands inside our brains that control our fight or flight mentality. It's when you're in bed laying at night and you hear a burglar break in, and you get scared, and you call 911, or you smell smoke, and you run out of the house because it's on fire. That's the flight part of it. And then there's the fight part of it is when you call 911 and Chris comes running in the door to catch the bad guy. Chris, you know, police officer. That's the fight part. It's the part of our brain that helps evaluate the safety of what's going on around us and will determine if we're going to run or if we're going to confront it. What's interesting, here's some other things that it controls. It's amazing that God put those right there inside. It says it keeps us alive. It warns us of and helps us escape danger, alerts us to those who are untrustworthy. It signals that someone is lying or manipulating us. It draws us to experiences that we know are safe. It draws us to experiences that will help us thrive and experience joy. It helps us prioritize our decisions. It provides feelings necessary to have form meaningful relationships. That's what these little glands do inside our head. What's interesting enough is we have them, and they're really cool glands, but we misuse them. We don't take control of them. And that's why we start seeing hoarding, people that don't trust God, don't put the faith in God enough, that we start hoarding and think, I need to earn more money. I need to make more things. I need to do more things, gather more possessions so that I will have security. Or I need to push my way to the top of an industry so that I could be the boss and I can be in control. And it demonstrates us that if we are trying to do everything ourselves, we have less faith in God. We don't rely on God, because God's the author and perfecter of all faith, and he's the one that's providing everything to us. And it's not about us, what we do. It's about what he is providing us. And what's interesting, these little glands, there's some great stories. John, he found a passage of scripture that says, if a snake bites before it's charmed, there is no profit to the charmer. It's a passage found in Ecclesiastes. What, interesting enough, it says that if we're trying to get a hold of the world and we're trying to tame the world, the world bites us first, there's no hope for us. Yeah. And we think we're smarter. We think we're better than the world. You know, people have fears, don't they? And one of the fears I've learned about is about snakes. I got to find my wife. There she is. Hi, honey. Sorry about this. But when we were dating, we were in college together at Kentucky Christian College at that time. For a date, you know, when you have no money and you only have about $3 to put in the gas, you drive to the mall, walk around, do absolutely nothing, you drive back to the college, go, wow, that was a cool date. I got to spend time with my wife. Well, girlfriend at the time. Anyway, and when you go there, you have to take them to the pet store because pet stores have puppies, and puppies are ooey gooey. Oh, look at a puppy! You know, and you do that. And in the back of this one particular pet store, there was a aquariums that have snakes in them. And Kim was really brave this day. She got within about 5 feet of that thing and started going, psst, psst, like that. And so like me, like any wonderful date, I walked up behind her and goes, psst, and I grabbed her arm. And she leaned out with this war whoop and turns and throws an elbow, knocks the lady to the ground, and I watch Kim flying out the door screaming, and you can hear her make a right turn out of the store to the middle of the mall, screaming, stomping her feet. Meanwhile, I'm trying to catch my breath because I am laughing hysterically. Help this lady up. This lady is just cracking up, even though she was knocked out almost. We have fears. And some people have the fear of snakes. Is there anybody here that would fit that category? So you guys are scared to raise your hand because you know that if I have some, I'm going to come bring it to you. Oh, right there in the front row. Well, you ready? Help me out here. Let's see. Oh, see, I don't have a fear of snakes, by the way. Yeah, see, that was my neighbor's yard when I got home. So I went over and picked it up and played with it for a while and got rid of it. Hold it. There's nothing in there. Is there anything around there? There's people picking their feet up right now. Oh, we had two leave? Well, I did say there's nothing in here. and it's because there was nothing. Remember the part of that gland I told you about? I said it has the ability to determine if somebody is misleading you and lying to you. It failed on some of you. Because there's absolutely nothing there, and there was nothing there. And I told you there was nothing there. But see, isn't that what the world is trying to do to us? They tell us enough, give us enough information, lead us astray to make us think something is going to hurt us and that we should avoid other things that can help us. And there's people that look at church that way. Oh, don't go to church with the holy rollers. They're going to take all the fun out of your life. I tell you right now, watching some of you, I was having quite a bit of fun up here. See, we trust in things and fear things that we shouldn't. But that's part of that survivor mentality that we start relying upon things that aren't real. And we forget about where God is. Let me tell you what our world's really like. There's a passage of scripture in your bulletin. And I want you to make a check mark along these things if they're true, okay? The scripture starts off with, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Check. Lovers of money. Check. Boastful. Check. Proud. Check. Abusive. Check. Disobedient to their parents. Check. Where's the other one at? Check. He's not even dancing on me. Check. Definitely. Ungrateful, unholy, without love. Check, check, check. Unforgiving, check. Slanderous, check. Without self-control, check. Brutal, check. Not lovers of good, check. Treacherous, rash, conceited. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Check, 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 check. Having all forms of godliness but denying its power. Check. Have nothing to do with them. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. Interesting enough, a poll was taken by Gallup's. In Gallup poll, it says 94% of all Americans believe in God or some form of higher being. 94% of all the Americans. Everybody you see, when you walk up and down the aisles at Walmart, you know that 94% of all the people believe in some form of higher being or God. The problem is they believe in God, but they don't fear God. They don't understand. See, this is called practical atheism. Someone who believes in God, but lives as if he does not exist. We see this constantly amongst people. Oh, you know, I believe in God. Well, when's the last time you went to church? Oh, I've never been. We have a belief, but don't even the demons believe? But they live as if God does not exist. They go on about their own way. They are trying to gain the power, prestige, themselves, the possessions, and the pleasure. It's all about themselves. Isn't this where Solomon was? His dad, who was David, who was a great king, a man after God's own heart, and now Solomon living on his own, doing his own thing, obtaining things for himself. And he realized at a point in life that it was totally meaningless unless you're living with the understanding of who God is and the fear of God. The fear of God is a reverent awe for God. It's not that you're terrified, oh, God didn't see me do that, and he's going to discipline me if he does. It's, wow, isn't God cool? He gave me a great job, a great home, a great family. God's helped me through horrible situations of life. And we've mentioned the Willoughby family and what they experienced just yesterday. God's going to help them through it. God's going to carry them through the difficult times. Look in your own life. The things that you have experienced, the valleys where all you can see is blackness before you, God was there with you. And he helped you through those times. It's not because of what we're doing or how great we are. It's a simple understanding that God is working ahead of us and we fear him. What we understand also is that he purchased our lives. A purchased life is someone who believes that the Prince of Peace has poured himself out for the people to prepare his people to be in the presence of God the Father. Simply said, as Jesus says, I'm going to give my life up for you, and I'm going to purchase you, and I'm going to dwell inside of you. I'm going to live inside of you until the day you come to stand before the God the Father in the kingdom of heaven, and then we're going to celebrate for life. What you're experiencing right now is not life. This is the precursor to what is going to happen next. This is temporary, and he's saying, because I've purchased you, I want to make it eternal, and you get to experience that joy when you walk through the pearly gates. So think about that. Everything here is just temporary, the ups and downs, the possessions, the power, everything we have will mean absolutely nothing when we stand before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? It's going to be that awe moment where you're going to go, wow! Everything I've been told, everything I've studied has come true. I'm in the presence of God himself. That day is coming. What am I supposed to do between now and then? Simple. Priesthood of believers. Someone who believes that they've been made perfect in Christ for the purpose of presenting the good news to a pathetic, dying world. Folks, it's your job, your opportunity to go out and just tell others, hey, what you're striving for, the things of this world, the things that you're trying to charm and take control of, you never will, so give up and turn to God. And let me tell you what he's done for you. While you were still in sin, he died for you. And he died for you because he loved you and he wants to give you his son to live inside you, to help empower you to make it through this world. Until day welcomes you into the kingdom of heaven. That's what you need to go tell other people. Interesting, that first service, a little different audience in here. They have gray hair. And, okay, well, some of us in here do. Not many. But the first service has more gray hair than we do right now. And that one, I don't feel so gray. I told them, there's people that love a traditional service. Just like they love singing hymns. They love a piano and they love an organ being played. And there are over 10,000 of them sitting at home on Sunday morning because they haven't been invited to come to a traditional service with a piano organ just like they like. Why don't you go invite somebody? Well, statistically, if there's 10,000 of those people sitting at home, there's probably 30,000 people just like you sitting at home right now that could be in worship, that could be studying God's Word that aren't here, and they won't come till you say, hey, guys, why don't you come join me today? Be with me in church. Let's learn about the battles you're facing that you're not going to win. And let's turn over to God. Let's give our lives to God. That's a challenge to you guys. You guys know what you need to do. And you know how easily the world will manipulate you and mislead you and make you fearful of things. And make you want to stay home. And make you want to gather, you know, oh, I got to go to work. I got to go do this. I got to do that. It's misleading you. It's giving you lies. Reality is fear God. Accept God. Draw closer to him. Because you ain't going to be able to do it yourself. Now, we're wrapping up the service. I've had the musicians come on back up here. So I want to make it clear, you have decisions to make. And what I've learned is you will make a decision today. Some of you go out and say, oh, that was a nice message, and I'm going to do absolutely nothing with it. Others of you will say, you know, that was nice, but not today. I got more things to be in control of, and I'm going to take control of it. But I know it's real simple. Some of you need Jesus right now. And you need to come forward and say, you know, I need that Jesus. I need him to be a part of my life to help me through this life. I invite you to come.